This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and co-host Gordon Chang. He is in Tokyo, Japan, and we are speaking with our colleague Nitin Gokhale. He is in Delhi, India. Nitin helps us understand the strategic standoff, face-off, between the Republic of India and the People's Republic of China, especially in the High Himalayas. However, there's more to the standoff now than heretofore, because the whole of the Indo-Pacific is now in contest, and the PLA stretching its elbows, sharp elbows out, while at home it has a restive, to be diplomatic, population. Gordon, a very good day to you in Tokyo. I am very pleased that you're there, that you arrived safely, and of course, we both celebrate the Japanese culture. Isn't Tokyo a marvel, Gordon? Don't you feel like you've gone to another world?
Tokyo is marvelous. And coming in from the airport, it just was dark. All the lights were on. It really is magical. And I've always thought that. When I first went to Asia in 1981, I thought Hong Kong was big. And then my first business trip to Tokyo, I thought that Hong Kong was a fishing village in comparison. And that awe has never left me.
Yes, Tokyo is a capital that has a country as opposed to a country that has a capital. Nitin Gokhale in Delhi. And I have never visited Delhi. I look forward to it. But the stories, the romantic stories of Delhi are equally competitive with Tokyo. However, gentlemen, we must go to the Himalayas and also the Indo-Pacific. There is this warning from China, we're told. China has warned American officials not to interfere in its relationship with India, the Pentagon says in a report to Congress. Throughout its standoff with India along the line of actual control, Chinese officials have sought to downplay the severity of the crisis, emphasizing Beijing's intent to preserve border stability and prevent the standoff from harming other areas of its bilateral relationship. Nitin, this is puzzling to me. What relationship? What bilateral relationship? We're looking at two forces, neither of whom have backed off a bit since the original contest, where Indian military personnel were brutally attacked by the Chinese. So what is this report referring to? Is there conversation between Delhi and Beijing? Good day to you, Nitin.
Good day, John. Good day, Gordon. The Chinese objection to India or U.S. helping India or U.S.-India relationship is basically their pet peeve for a long time. The Chinese feel that India is being used by the United States as a frontline state towards containment of China in Asia and the world, of course. And therefore, anything that India and the United States do together is objected to by China. But this is more explicit because China believes that during the standoff, which began in the summer of 2020, and in some ways still continuing, the United States has helped India get satellite imagery, intelligence on the Chinese troops and Chinese movement. And therefore, the Chinese are saying it in a roundabout way that don't interfere between our adversarial or otherwise relationship between India and China. That's the gist of it, really. But Chinese really are always upset about growing India-U.S. Strategic relationship. John?
Do I remember correctly, Nitin, that your prime minister, Mr. Modi, suffers no fools, and that this pretense that there are bilateral relationships with India does not fool him or does not fool the Indian people? You know that China is hostile. Is that correct, Nitin?
It's absolutely correct. And in fact, the Indian strategy since the summer of 2020 has been to try and decouple with China in so far as trade and technology is concerned. Although trade continues to thrive because of old dependencies on China for raw material and for pharmaceutical inputs, the Indian government has taken a number of steps to decouple from China. For instance, banning Huawei from contesting in India's 5G tendering or the competition for 5G rollout in telecom and other sectors It has kept China out. So there is no illusion in India that China is the biggest adversary India has, and it's a strategic challenge in the coming future.
Gordon, you have a question for Nitin.
Nitin, there's been a series of talks between the two militaries, India's and China's, over Ladakh. What is the status of that?
Well, 16 rounds of the talks that have taken place has sort of yielded disengagement at the five main friction points that were in place since the summer of 2020. But there remains two main friction points, which are carryovers from almost a decade ago, which remain to be resolved. And both the armies, while they are not face-to-face exactly, they are not too far away from each other, about 2 or 2.5 to 3 kilometers at every place along the line of actual control in Ladakh. So they remain deployed. They remain in the state of high alert on both sides. And the Chinese are building infrastructure at a furious pace. And so is India in that area. It's a very difficult terrain, high altitude areas, more than 5,000 meters of high hills, high mountains, and very hostile. The winter temperature goes down to minus 40 degrees centigrade at times, which is the current state right now. So that's the position. And there is no sign of any permanent resolution at the moment.
Nitin, Indo-Pacific, what is the status of the face-off between the Chinese, the PLA Navy, and the Indian military, the Indian Navy, especially with to do the extreme abuse of Sri Lanka? Are there incidents at sea now?
Well, there are no incidents at sea as such, but there are increasing forays by the Chinese PLA Navy into the Indian Ocean and the Bay of Bengal around India. And of course, as you pointed out, Sri Lanka has been one of its bases from where the Chinese want to make these journeys into India's immediate neighborhood, India's backyard, so to say. Many survey ships, many scientific hydrography ships and spy ships from China are making increasing forays into India's backyard. And India is keeping a very close watch. More and more assets are deployed to track Chinese PLA Navy's movements in this area. So far, no face-off, but there is a likelihood of some kind of a face-off or some kind of a contest becoming more intense in the Indian Ocean region, at least, if not beyond that.
Gordon, you have a question.
Nitin, many of the ships in the Indian Navy are built on Soviet and now Russian platforms. And there's a continuing relationship between New Delhi and Moscow on naval cooperation. What's the status of that cooperation?
Well, yes, you're right. Most of the platforms, including India's functional aircraft carrier, are of the Soviet origin, not exactly Russian, but Soviet origin. And they continue to depend on Soviet supplies. But off late, that is about for a decade or more, India is also building its own indigenous ships. For instance, the second aircraft carrier that India has built now, INS Vikrant, is completely built in India, designed with, of course, Russian help, but designed by Indian Navy engineers and designers and built in a civilian shipyard in India. So slowly, even that decoupling with Russia is happening, but it will take at least another 5 to 6 years to completely decouple from Russia. At least in Navy and the Indian Air Force.
Nitin, over these last days, their reporting out of China indicates that there is a general popular revolt against the brutality of the regime. How is this story being presented in Delhi and to the Indian population on television? What are the commentators saying? We have about a minute.
Well, the commentators are watching it very keenly and closely, and India is, of course, concerned. The people are being told that how the common Chinese people are coming out on the streets, which is unprecedented. After Tiananmen Square in 1989, this has not happened. So there is a lot of interest and a lot of keenness to understand what's happening in China. The national decision makers are also keeping a close watch. but no definite direction as yet of where this is headed.
And one more detail about this revolt. Is it widely covered? Does it lead the news? Has it been a top-of-the-fold story in India media?
Oh, it is indeed. I was. I also participated in a television discussion just 2 days ago. So it was headline news on Monday and Tuesday. Yesterday, of course, there was something else. And today, I'm not sure if it is still headline, but there is a lot of discussion and analysis in Indian newspapers and Indian websites about what's happening in China.
Nitin Gokhale is our colleague, strategic analyst. He is in Delhi. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, writing for Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill. He is in Tokyo, Japan. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.